It's related that in the time of the Tzemach Tzedek, that in Petterburg there lived a Yid who was a Yid Anosher, who was a chassid of the Rebbe. And he had a custom that every year he used to go to, it was known as a Yerid, which was a county fair, in a place called Nizhny. And his custom was that before he went to the county fair, would stop off the city of the Rebbe in Tzemach Tzedek to get a bracha from him. And there was one more stop that he made, which was a little town not far from the Tzemach Tzedek, from Lubavitch. There was a place called Dobro Mishal, where an old Malamed of his, an old Rebbe of his, used to live there. So he used to go to visit him. He used to be Mahanahim. That was just time to visit him. He used to be Mahanahim. He was his old Malamed, going back, you know, many, many years. So it was his custom, so every year. The Malamed of Chengivis, you know, that the Tkufa, that the fair takes place during the year. He knows that he's going to have his old Talmud, who became a Gevir, stops off, and he's a Mahanahim. This is the way it went. So one year it happened that he was very, very busy, so he was sort of very late, in other words, to make it to the county fair. But he figured, you know, he'll stop off at the Rebbe, that he can't substitute for any reason, can't skip that, miss that. So he goes to the Tzemach Tzedek. But he figures he's going to skip the visit to his Malamed. And that's not so important. But before he does that, he's going to ask the Rebbe. So he asks the Rebbe whether he should be Mevatel his Minig or not. Because Lamaisa is the time is of the essence, and the Yerid started already, and every day is important. Should he really still stop over like his custom was, or maybe he should skip it this time? And the Rebbe said to him, he says, since this is a minig that you have for many, many years, he says, don't skip it, don't be mevatel your minig. You should stop at the Malamed's place like you always do, visit him. So he listened, and Kachave, so he had his horses and his wagon hitched up. And he goes from the Rebbe's place, he goes to Dobro Mishal. The Malamed was already waiting for him, because he never arrived so late. And he thought, who knows, maybe he won't even come. But finally he sees him coming, the Mula Simcha. So he brings him in, and he invites him. Of course, he prepares some hot water to give him a pesach drink. But the guest, he's very busy. He says, no, he says, I'm here, he says, Behechrich, I have to go on, there's no time to waste. So it's not time to visit now. The Maisa, so he says, all I have to do is I want to daven mincha, he says, and I want to leave. No time. He said, please sleep over. No, used to sleep over. No, I can't. It's late as it is. Anyway, he gets to daven mincha, and then all of a sudden he says, the clouds, tremendous clouds begin to gather, and it begins to thunder and lightning, terrible, terrible rain. And the Malamed says to him, listen, you can't travel under such circumstances. So Bechach, you have to stay and sleep here, spend the night over here. He says, no, it doesn't make a difference. The weather is not going to stop me. He says, I have to go. So as he was ready to leave, he gets a terrible, terrible headache. Now, this already stopped him. He says, can't go. The headache is not the sandwich. It's such a terrible headache. And meantime, the rain even intensified, became even stronger. Pshumayfim, till tomorrow, it's not shy for him to leave. All right, so he stays behechav, he stays overnight, he spends the night. The next morning, he feels even worse. They can't each gain. And he wasn't even able to get out of bed. And this is such a small town, there's not even a doctor. So the Malamed had to summon a doctor to the closest place, which was a certain city called Urshi, was called. He brings the doctor, and the doctor diagnoses, examines him, and he comes up with a diagnosis and says, this man has typhus. Very serious machle. In the meantime, they sent the telegram to the Rebbe. The Rebbe should be mispala for him. He should become well. Bid the master, so he slept this thing, dragged on for 8 weeks. Mamish, he was confined. He was not able to leave. 8 weeks, 8 weeks, 8 weeks. Finally, after he gets better, so he goes back to the Rebbe. And he had a little tarumas, because he tined in his mind, at least, didn't say it. He thought that being that on the road visiting that Malamed, he got cold. And that's how he got sick. He said, hey, guy, had he not stopped over at the Malamed's place, he would not have gotten sick. So he comes to the Rebbe and he begins to cry. He says, why did you send me here to Dobro Mishal, to the Malamed? And the Rebbe quotes Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Gimel. I'll tell you the quote. I'll tell you the Pashto Pshat, and then how the Rebbe touched it. The Gemara says, Ferisha Gemara, but the Gemara says, this interesting memory. It says, Ragloihi debar nash, which means the feet of a person, inun arvinle. They are responsible for him, La asar de mitvei tamon moivilin yose. A person's feet bring him and take him to where he's wanted. In other words, when the Rebbe Shalom wants you to be someplace, you can't get out of it. Your feet are going to bring you there. That's the posh of the pshat. La asar de mitvei. Mitvei is with the ayin yud, right? Where lashon teveya, where he's being asked, where he's wanted to be, the place where he has to be. Dadaf etzegain. So the Rebbe said the word de mitvei is not only for lashon teveya, where he is claimed. The feet bring him to the place where he's claimed. Mitvi is also lotion to be mispalel, like it said, Seloisi Ubausi, Mangibait, right? In other words, he says, when a person needs a Yeshua, his feet take him to the place where somebody can be mispalel for you. In other words, that Melamed who is mispalel for you, that's how you got the Yeshua, not that's how you got sick. This Melamed had a Krechat Tfilah. Raglin de Banash, the feet of a person, Arvin Lay are responsible for him. La Asad de Mitvi, not where he is claimed, where they need him to be. Lasad de mitvi is lashon where one can be mispalel for him. Lashon boi, right? In taboy and boy, like the Gemara says in Bava Kama. So there is mavilam dutton, the feet bring him. Which, of course, as we see, that of course, that everything is kli basher min hashemayim. We see things one way, and lamais is pink faket. We just don't recognize the emes, the pnimius advorim. I will continue here in the Tanya, Perek Ches, 10 lines from the top, where it says, Val dvorim betelem beheter. Till now, the Tanya was discussing of how a person deals with achila, which was shleil l'shem shemayim, and what the effects and what the consequences are. Now the Tanya continues to talk about what is necessary in order to be misakin, right? Permitted words which were not said l'shem shemayim. Again, we're not talking about dvorim asurim. Dvorim asurim is poshut osur for this point, this beginning. We're talking about permitted words. But the words that are permitted were not said l'shem shemayim. What about that? And what is needed to be done to be misakin that? So we're talking about now dvorim mutorim, but they were said shloi l'shem shemayim. So the Tanya goes on and says like this. Val dvorim, he says, regarding dvorim betelim beheter. We're talking about when a person speaks dvorim betelim beheter. That means idle chatter. Now, Bama says, Rabbi Isai, there's no such thing as dvorim betelim beheter. He did not speak Dvorim B'Talim. So the Tanya says, you're talking about an Amoritz. Talking about an Amoritz, let's say, for example, who does not know how to learn, doesn't have any Havon in learning, he has no Yedi in learning, it's not shy for him to learn. So Be'etzim, right, Be'etzim, his words are not Bittul Torah, because he's an Oynes, Oynes Rechman Patri. He's not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, Rechilis, that's Poshit, that's Diburim Asurim. But Dvorim B'Talim Beheter, for him, speaking some, all kinds of things, everything, which is not in learning, which is not Torah, but yet, it's Dvorim B'Talim. But this is Dvorim B'Talim Beheter. So the Tanya says as follows. While Dvorim B'Talim Beheter, when a person speaks, which is innocent Dibur, Kegoin, he says it would be the case, Am Ho'oretz Sheinu Yochel Ilmud. In the case of an Amoretz who can't, is not able to learn, because if he's a person, a father who is able to learn, he has a Chiv of Talmud Torah. Every available moment, he has a Chiv of Talmud Torah. So then you would have, if a person speaks Dvorim B'Talim, he'd be over a mitzvah says of a dibar tobom v'loy b'dvorim acherim, which is Gemara Darshan, that you have a chiv to talk in Torah. Then it would not be considered Dvorim B'Talim Beheter. So we're talking about a situation where it's Dvorim B'Talim Beheter, and that would be kegoin amor at sheinu yochel ilmoid. So the Tanya tells us, and we'll explain it more in detail a little bit later, but let's just get some of the Rosh Hashanah. Tzarech letahir nafshoi mitumazu. In other words, even Dvarim B'Talim Beheter also needs purification. Because the more Dvarim B'Talim that a person speaks, Memela becomes more Megushim. And Memela being that becomes more and more Megushim, there is a need to purify oneself from the after effects from all of this Dvarim B'Talim. Which is a very interesting thing. We're not talking about Dvarim Asurim at all. We're talking about Dvarim B'Talim Beheter, being that he is an Amoret, so basically there's not even no Isser. But the mere fact that this is a bigaret is Dvarim B'Talim. So the more Dvarim B'Talim that a person speaks, it leaves a Rosh Hashanah Neshama. Although there isn't one Tzad Isser in it, Be'etzim. But it's Dvarim B'Talim, nonetheless. So if a person speaks Dvarim B'Talim, even Beheter, his Neshama needs to undergo a purification process, because when the Neshama leaves his body, and the Neshama wants to return to its heavenly Mokim in Gan Eden, this proper place, The neshama has to be purified. You can't go if it's soiled in any way. The neshama therefore is prevented from going back to its shayrish. So the neshama has to undergo a purification process lachar mei ve'esrim. And the Tanya goes on to explain. He has to cleanse his neshama from the impurity of this klipa. He says, "Al yedei gilgula bekaf hakela." The Zohar talks about something which is called kaf hakela. Literally, they used to translate it like the hollow of a sling. Think of a slingshot. There is a type of anoinish that the Zohar HaKadosh, that the Tanya is referring to, where the neshama is sentenced, if you will, to be flung in what is called the kaf hakela, which is the hollow of the sling. Now, in a gashmis way, put in a physical way to understand that, that would mean to say, but there's a spiritual aspect to it. But in the gashmis sense, when you say that the neshama has to undergo a purification process, which is kaf hakela, would mean that the neshama is being slung from one end of the world to the other. It's being slung, like you shoot with a slingshot. So the neshama is being slung from one end of the world to the other, or from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. Such a bechina. You find different bechinas in kaf hakela. That would be in a physical way to understand that. But lemaisiv, in a ruchnisdig way, what kaf hakela means, that the oynish, if you will, and the purification process of the neshama with kaf hakela means that the neshama basically is flung from one extreme to the other. And that would mean that what you do is like this. It's like a tease. You take the neshama, now after 120, that neshama is taken, and you take it to a mokim kedusha. You surround it in a place that's mokim kedusha and emes. So the neshama now is being shown the truth, right? And it shows the tremendous chashivas of kedusha. And then, just as the neshama is taking in all this tremendous tanuk of being the environment of kedusha and in truth, you take it out. The neshama is being whisked out, and it's being brought. Into an atmosphere of gashmius. That sun, imagine somebody, right, was in a hot shower, and all of a sudden the water turns cold. That drastic change, you know. Or from cold, all of a sudden, to extreme hot. These extremes is a very, very painful type of a situation. The neshama, not only that, the neshama who spoke all this dvorim b'telem, so it's being thrown, what's called in the kaf hakela, means that the neshama will be taken up to a mokim surrounded with kedusha, with holiness and truth, and then the neshama is taken out of that, and it's being reminded of all the things that it said in this gashmizdik world, all the gashmizdik diburim, and all of the thoughts and all the words that experienced while in the physical world. This is a painful experience for the neshama. This is what is referred to as kaf hakela, very, very unique type of a concept. And as Tanya refers to, this is mentioned in the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Bishalach. So when the Tanya tells us that this method of kaf hakela, the neshama, basically is rolled right through the hollow of the sling. That's a little translation. Through the hollow of the sling, right? That is when, for what type of a situation? Dvarim b'teilim shel heter. Interesting. Dvarim b'teilim shel heter. That's the madrega. That's the type of a purification process that the neshama has to undergo. So kaf hakela is designed. Right, to purify a situation of dvarim b'teilim beheter, because even though metzarecha there's no iser, because iser do something else is waiting for him, but this is dvarim b'teilim shel heter. But being a dvarim b'teilim, so the neshama became, as we said, more megushim, has been attached to the neshama. The neshama has to undergo the purification process to be restored to its pristine, right, to its pristine quality, as it were. And how is it done? Through the kaf hakela, the neshama being slung from one end to the other, which means again from one extreme to the other, from an atmosphere of kedusha, and then it's taken out and it's being shown again all of the things and all of the thoughts. And the neshama says, how could I, is it possible that I was involved once with these situations? Terrible situation for the neshama to bear from one extreme to the other. But that is the method, and that's the matzah that's called kaf hakela. Okay, so this is the necessity that the neshama, right, is necessary to undergo in order to be misakin permitted words right? Permitted words, but they were not said l'shem shemaim. Not stam dvarim b'talem, dvarim b'talem b'yalma. Right? So permitted words that were not said l'shem shemaim, thereby being classified as dvarim b'talem, because if they're l'shem shemaim, it's not called dvarim b'talem, because then they have a purpose. Then they serve, right? They serve as a mahalach and avodas Hashem. But dvarim b'talem b'het stam azoy, whatever they may be, the neshama has to undergo a purification process, which is called kafakela. Says the Tanya further, Aval diburim asurin. However, what about when a person was over on the forbidden speech? Now we're getting more serious, much more, right? Now it's not stam dvorim b'talem. Now it's the divorim or dibur shel iser. K'moy litzonis, loshon hara k'yoytze behem. That already is shehein misholish klipos atmeis legamre. That is already connected from the sholish klipos atmeis, as opposed dvorim b'talem beheter. The chiyus of that is from klipas noiga, let's remember. But basically, when you're dealing with something that's mutter, even if, for example, like we said, food, that's a mutter. You don't eat it l'shem shemayim. The koich achius, right, the vitality, is from what's called klipas noige. Klipas noige means it's a klipa that can go either way, even, but we already learned from the time, klipas noige, basically, roiv of that klipa is ra. The mute is toiv, but there is toiv that can be extracted, and the person can elevate it to kedusha. But when you're talking about diburim asurim, the koich achius of that is, that's already the sholish klipas atmeis, that the Tanya always refers to. So diburim asurim, which comes basically, which they stem from the sholosh klipos atmeis legamra, from the completely, right? Three klipos which are tomin gansen. Says the Tanya, that needs a more serious purification process. It means something which is much more, right? Which is much more intense. Ein kafa kela, now levado, it depends if you have that girsa. Because if you go levado, it means in addition. You need two things. That alone is not enough. It's mashma, you have to go two things. Some issues or additions of the Tanya didn't have the word levado. That's why it's put in here in brackets over here. But if we have the levado im, what the Tanya is saying is by diburim asurim, kafakela alone is not enough. It's mashma, you have kafakela, right? But you, on top of kafakela, you have a second thing. What is that? As he says, first of all, he says, ain kafakela, the kafakela to be slung from one end to the other, is not enough. Moyel letaher ulahavir to mosay mehanefesh. That will not suffice to cleanse the neshama. Raktzicha leired legehenim. Now I think it's the first time. Now we're hearing something about gehenim already. Now comes gehenim, which of course is a much more serious situation, and that's more effective, right, in cleansing the neshama. Well, we have to realize that the idea of gehenim is not stam punishment for sake of punishment. That's not the purpose. The idea of Gehenim is a purification process. It's a cleansing process. In the same way, when there is strong stains, when we can think about, right, in our physical life, whether it's on a shirt or it's on a baguette, the more serious the stain, the more scrubbing you have to do. Right? And scrubbing means that there's going to be more friction, right, on the baguette. Right? And you have to have much more type of an acidy type of a detergent or something that eats into the dirt. The same way is in the spiritual sense. The neshama that got sullied and became affected by diburim asurim needs a much more intense purification process, which kafakela is not capable of providing. It's too light. Tishvach. But you have to have, therefore comes the gehenim. That is a type of a purging. When the neshama descends at the gehenim, the chen, says the Tanya Taka further also, mi she'ef shaloi lasoig b'tayre. Oh, because now the Tanya, see, the Tanya in these last two lines has moved away from Dvorim B'Telem Shel Heter. Dvorim B'Telem Shel Heter, that's Kafakela, right? So the Shom is flung, as we said, from Ruchnius into Gashmius, right? So this change, this immediate change from one extreme to the other, fine. That's one Madrega of purification process. The Tanya moved, as we said, Aval Dvorim Asurim. Dvorim Asurim, right, can take place in a number of ways. Dibur Shalisa could be you're over on a Loisase, or you're over on a Mitzasese. Namely, Loisase means you're speaking Lashon Hara, that's clearly a lav. That's a Dibur Shalisa, right, where you're over a lav. You speak Rechilis, you're over a lav. How do you have a Dibur Shalisser, Mitzasesser? You're capable of learning, you're not learning. That's a Bittul Mitzasesser of Limud HaTorah. That's also a Dibur Shalisser. But that's a Dibur Shalisser for not learning, for speaking, because in the time, right, that you're speaking, Dvorim B'Talem, you should have learned. If you have time to speak Dvorim B'Talem, you should be able to learn in that time. So that's also a Dibur Shalisser. Except the first example of Dibur Shalisser, where he speaks about Letzonis Lashon Hara, right? That's an Isser, Bekum Vasei, where a person's doing an Isser actively. He's speaking Lashon Hara. In the second case, we're speaking Dvarim B'Teilim instead of learning, it's a Iser B'Sheval Tase. He's not learning. He's speaking Dvarim B'Teilim. That's what he's saying is Dvarim Shel Heter. What's the problem? He should have been learning. So he's being over, right? B'Sheval Tase. So there's two ways of being over a Dibur Shel Iser. You can do a Dibur Shel Iser B'Kum Vaseh. That is where you're speaking Lashon Hara, right? So the Dibur is an active Iser. Or it's the Iser B'Sheval Tase. You should have been learning, and you're not learning. You're speaking Dvarim B'Teilim. Right, that's a bitl mitzvah saseh. So the Tanya says, in both cases, the Tanya of Chemi Shevcher Loilasik B'Teirim. The person, in other words, he's not an Amoris, like was in the original example. So now your Dvarim B'Teilim has consequences. Because if you're not an Amoris, then you don't have Dvarim B'Teilim Shel Heter anymore. You're already in a different category, being that you're capable of learning. So now, instead of speaking Dvarim B'Teilim, that now constitutes bitl Teirim, it's a Dibur Shel Iser. Says the Tanya, if you are Oisik B'Dvarim B'Teilim, Ein kapa kela levadoi moil and afshel and marko lezachacho. So he says the kapa kela, the hollow of the sling alone, cannot effectively, it can't scour and can't cleanse the neshama. The Tanya says, I'm going to read the two lines, the next few lines, and then explain them. Vak oinshim chamurim shim anishim al bitl toir beprotius. But now the neshama has to undergo severe penalties, which is meted out specifically for the neglect of toir in particular. Says the Tanya. Milvad, besides, besides, he adds more stuff. We'll see. Milvad oynish akloli. Besides the general retribution, he says, l'chol bitl mitzvahs asay, machmas atzlis, that's b'shev al tasev, where a person basically is mavatla mitzvahs asay out of laziness. Right? He says, he has to undergo, he says, b'gehenem shel sheleg. B'gehenem shel sheleg, the gehenem, he says, of snow. He says, as is explained, he says, in other places as well. Well, we have to understand that Tanya is really saying here three nekudis, all right? So let's just follow step by step. Quite simple, but it's interesting, and it's amazing, mechayev, I mean, to see again where the Tanya here, he says, where the a person who is seeking shleimus and avodas Hashem, where his goals should be. Now, the Tanya started out again to say v'chein mi, right? He started to say with efshet to be oisik b'teire, and he's oisik in v'arim b'teilem. That's another example of a dibur shel iser, because it's no longer a dibur shel heter for him, because he's capable of learning. That's not v'arim b'teilem shel heter. The amoris, the Tanya says, is v'arim b'teilem shel heter. He's not speaking lashon hara. It's some narishkeit. So it's v'arim b'teilem shel heter, right? But if he's able to learn, then there's no such thing. There's no such parish of v'arim b'teilem shel heter anymore. Now it becomes already a bitl mitzvah seser. The Tanya is saying as follows. So first of all, if a person basically was capable of learning and he's not learning, right? So Mamela, he's speaking Dvarim B'Teilim. Let's remember, he's not saying Chol Ilul Lashon Hara. No Lashon Hara. Because then Stam it's a Dibur Shel Iser. But he's capable of learning and he's not learning. He's speaking Dvarim B'Teilim. So the Tanya says, the clause is like this. First of all, when a person is speaking Dvarim B'Teilim and he's capable of learning, he's not an Amoritz, so he was over number one on a mitzvah seseh v'dibar tobob. Okay, that's for starters. He was over on a mitzvah seseh, since he's capable of learning, right? And he's speaking Dvarim B'Teilim, he's over on a mitzvah seseh v'dibar tobob. He should speak in them in Divrei Torah v'loy b'dvarim acherim. So it means he was mevatel a mitzvah seseh. Now, what is the din? Forget about the esse of bitl Torah. What would be if a person's mevatel any mitzvah seseh in general? If a person would be mevatel, didn't put on tefillin, didn't wear tzitzis, didn't eat matzah, no shofar, whatever the mitzvah seser should be, what is the yoinish for someone who's mevatel on mitzvah seser in general? The klal is like this. When a person mevatel afilastam mitzvah seser, there is an yoinish. In this particular case, and when a person speaks Dvarim B'Teilim, when he's capable of learning, this is not stam a mitzvah seser, this is a mitzvah seser of bitl Torah. And the Tanya is going to distinguish in these lines that we just said now, is distinguishing between a bitl of a stam mitzvah seser to the type of an oynish and a purgatory process that one must undergo when the oynish happens to be a bitl Torah. There's a difference between the oynish of bitl Torah to the oynish of a stam mitzvah seser, because in the same way, when we say the Talmud Torah keneged kulam, which basically means that the schar of Talmud Torah is greater than any other mitzvah seser, the same way, Cain, who oynish bitula, so says the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, in the same way that Talmud Torah, it works both ways. If Talmud Torah is going to get kulam, that for Torah the schar is a greater reward you get for limud Torah than for any other mitzvah seses, so the hepech is also true. So the converse is also true. That the yoinish of the bittul Torah is also greater. The schar is greater, the yoinish is also greater. So it comes out that for bittul Torah there's an yoinish miyuchet. Right? There's an yoinish miyuchet. So that's the second thing. In other words, there's an yoinish for stama mitzvah seses, but there's an yoinish miyuchet, there's a special yoinish regarding bittul Torah. Now, what is the third thing? The third thing is like this. Why didn't Chitaka learn? Why didn't Chitaka learn? So the answer is, and by the way, and that would be the truth for any bittul mitzvah seser. Why didn't you put on tefillin? Any bittul mitzvah seser b'sheval taseh. So why didn't you learn? Why didn't you do the mitzvah seser? So the yisoid of the bittul is atzlus, as the Tanya points out. Atzlus, he says atzlus. So the Tanya is megala to us that the einish for atzlus basically is there's a gehenim which is gehenim shel shelek. It's a gehenim shel shelek. It's a gehenim of snow. In other words, what it means to say is, quite simply, that we have two types of gehenims. There's a gehenim shalesh, right? There's a gehenim shalesh, and there's a gehenim shel shelek. Bederach klal, when a person is over, let's say, an aveira b'kum vase. Let's say, for example, he ate chazer. That means he did an aveira b'chamimis. He does it out of taiv, he does it out of desire. When you do an aver b'chamimis, so the yoinish also works midah keneged midah, so the yoinish also works b'chamimis. That's the gehenim shalesh. That's gehenim shalesh. I mean, these are much higher, but these are the lishoinis, as we have some asogi, just what we're talking about, just as much as our seichel can understand what that means. But the idea is, when a person's over an aver b'kum vasei, that means he's over b'chamimis, right? In the heat of passion, in the heat of desire, right? And this is the idea when you're over an aver b'kum vasei. When a person is over an aver b'kum vasei, so he was over b'chamimis, so the yoinish is also therefore b'chamimis. That's the gehenim shalesh. We say to him, listen, you're over b'chamimis, we're also going to give you chamimis. Midi can I get midi? But they gave him chamimis, he said. You're looking for chamimis? We're going to give you chamimis. As the Pasuk says, kol dovar asher yovoy b'yesh, tavir b'yesh in the parish of Agolas Kalim, parish of Matos. The source of Agolas Kalim is kiboloi kach poltoi. In order to be able to kasher something, you cash it in the same fashion that the way it absorbs. That's the way it works. The midah keneged midah. Certain things need libun, right? Hagol is not enough with water. You need libun. Actually, you have to glow it over the fire. It gets red hot. And there's a certain kalim that you can cash it with hagol, with hot water. It does not need libun. What does it depend on? How it absorbed, how it was used. A grill, right? That you put meat straight flat on it, right? And it became treif. With no medium of any mashke, no medium of any liquid, plus you put the meat on it, that grill needs libun. Can't kasher it in a hot water, in a pot of hot water. Came ga'asa straight throughout any medium of mashke, right? No liquid. So the same way became ga'asa directly through the fire. So you have to heat it also completely to the highest level with fire. That's libun. Things that were ga'asa through cooking, right? You cooked the piece of chazer in a pot with water, cooking by water. So then you kasher also with the water. So the klal is called dovash yova beish, taviru beish, as you find by Golas Kalim. Sometimes libum, sometimes agola. So when a person's over an aveira b'kum vasei, he was over b'chamimis. So now you have to purify him through a gehenim shalesh. Mashenke, when he's over b'sheval tase, sheval tase is faket, kriris, a kaltkeit. He has a coldness to it. If you feel warm to the idea, you do it, right? Why are you mavatla mitzvah? Because you have a cold attitude. Even in English we say it that way, right? You have a cold attitude. That's a kaltkeit, right? Ah, you have a cold, that's shovel toss. Whenever you're not doing something, you have no desire. No desire means you feel cold towards it. You don't have any warmth for it. You don't have any gefil for it. You don't have any hagosha for it. So when it comes to a bitl mitzvah b'shevel tase, when it comes to a bitl mitzvah b'shevel tase, it means you have an attitude of coldness. Not as you didn't learn, you did not learn. So he had a careerist, he had a cold attitude towards the idea. What's the tikkun? Gehenim shel shelek, cold. That's the chiluk. So when you're over b'kum vasei, that means you're over basically b'chamimis. Right, then you're over b'chamimis. So in that situation then you have gehenim shel esh. But here the Tanya is talking about that. And the truth is, it's already brought down in the Svarim HaKdoshim that the sheirish of klipas amolek, which amolek came to be loichim to klal Yisrael, and tries to tear them down and tries to degrade klal Yisrael, says asher korcho baderech. But the Svarim HaKdoshim, the Sifra Chassidus, that the Tafkid, right, and the focus of Molech is right, to implant a coldness, a cold attitude towards Kima Mitzvahs, a laziness, a laxness, right, an atlas, that's Kriris, Ashikor Chabaderech, to take out the excitement, to take out the fervor, to take out and to remove the Hislahavas, Ashikor Chab, right, that he imposed and he implanted a coldness, that's Gehenem Shel Shelek, because lack of doing mitzvahs, B'Shevel Tase, where the bit was B'Shevel Tase, that's an attitude of a coldness. So therefore the Tanya says, that if someone is able to be Oisik B'Torah, if someone is able to be Oisik B'Torah, and he's Oisik B'Dvaram B'Talim, so besides the Oynish, besides the Oynish of Kafa Kela, by the way, that's an Oynish for all Diburim, even Dibur Shel Heter, let's remember, Dvaram B'Talim Shel Heter, as the Tanya started out, for example, where the Amoritz is over, not over, it's not really over, but we say it causes the Nisham to become more gashmizik. So when you have even a dibur shel heter, right, in order to cleanse it, is you have kafakela. He says, in this situation, he says, where a person actually was able to be oisik b'toyer and is oisik in dvaram b'talem, so besides the oinish of kafakela, which all diburim have, but here that you have bittel toyer, the time just ain't kafakela levadoi moil. Kafakela alone is not enough, but rather you need, he says, oinshim chamurim, special oinshim of bittel toyer, besides the general oinish, he says, for any mitzvah seser, which is gehenim shel shelek. Which means, on stama mitzvah seser, which is not as chomer as bittel toyer, you would have two oinshim. A, kafakela, because kafakela is even for dvarim shel heter, right? Even dvarim b'talem shel heter. In the case of dibur shel issa, it's not enough. So he needs kafakela, plus he needs also gehenim shel shelek. But you notice by Bittel Torah he has a third thing, he says, and that is Oinshim Chamurim. Milvab! Besides, he says, the general Oinish for any mitzvah esse, which is Gehenim Shel Shelek. So therefore, just basically to recap, what you see is as follows. What you see is that again, when a person, as the Tanya says, when he's able to be Oisik B'Torah and he's not, so therefore he's connected in the Sholosh Klipos HaTemeis, as he pointed out. On the other hand, the Amoritz, right? The Amoritz who's not capable of learning, so basically his dibur is a dibur shel heter. Dibur shel heter comes from which strength? It comes from the strength of klipas noiga. Fine. Now, and by the way, just the example that the Sfarim just give a little bit to understand when you talk about the kafakela, that was the easiest, if you will, of the purgatory processes, of the purification processes. His example would be, he says, because the idea is what you want to do is you want to remove the memory from the neshama of the dvarim b'talim. Shel heter, right? In Yenavelt, you know, Dvarim B'Talem shel heter, any Dvarim B'Talem has no place. So even though it's heter on this world, but in the next world you want to take out the memory chip. I take them, Mekleptus, or you take a mattress, right? And you bang out the dust, right? It takes out all the dust. In a certain sense, you bang the Nisham, if you will, and that sort of knocks out all the memory and all of the Zichroinus, even the Zichroinus of heter. So that is the idea. In the same way that you have some dust on a baguette, what do? So you bang the baguette, Mekleptos the baguette, right? You bang the baguette here and there, you bang it out, and Mamela removes all the dust. Here you want to bang out the oisius of the Dvarim B'Talem Shel Heter. That's Kafakela, right? To bang out the dust. Not such a stark thing, because you don't need more. All you have to do is bang out the dust. For dust, it's enough to get rid of dust. It's not a stain that really got stuck inside, right? But that's something Mekleptos Klappen. So that's the idea of Kafakela. Then it comes, of course, as we said, the Gehenim Shalesh and Gehenim Shel Shelek. Gehenim Shalesh is for a loisus bikum basay, right? Is for a lav. Somebody's over a lav. That means you do the maise. You ate chazer, right? You spoke loshen hara. For that, you can eat Gehenim Shalesh. As we explained, it's because he says a lav, basically, when you do something actively, you're over a lav and you're doing a maise. So therefore, this is with chamimis. So may also the Gehenim is a Gehenim Shalesh. Then Gehenim Shel Shelek is when somebody's over a mitzvah seser. Being over a mitzvah seser means what you didn't do. Not what you did do wrong, but forget what you did not do. That's the wrong, what you didn't do. And why didn't you do it? Because you had a kariris, you had a kaltkeit, you had a coldness. So Amela, for that you have the Gehenim Shel Shelek. So the idea of the Oynish is, as it points out, is a bechina of, really, of Midah keneged Midah. Now, so it comes out, in summary, when you have a Dibur Shel Iser, let's come out like this. When you have a Dibur Shel Iser, so basically you have a double Oynish. The double oinish is, number one, keneged the iser, you need gehenim. Keneged this dvarim b'talem, that in a dibur iser, it's dvarim b'talem also. When you speak an iser, in addition to being an iser, it's also dvarim b'talem. For dvarim b'talem, you need kafakela. and for the chelik isa need gehenim. So for a dibur shel isa, there's the two anshim. And remember, he says kavakela levado is not enough. In other words, in addition to kavakela, you have gehenim. When it comes to bittul Torah, you have three things. Because you have kafakela, because it'd be, when you spoke dvorim b'teilim, instead of learning, so you have the chelik dvorim b'teilim, that's kafakela. For the dibur shel isa, you over mitzvah sesa, v'dibar tobom, even stama mitzvah sesa, that's gehenim shel shelik. But being it's Torah, Talmud Torah can I get kulam, the Oynish is also can I get kulam. So on top of gehenim shel shelik, what else do you have? Oynishim chamurim. That doesn't even tell you what that is. Doesn't say what that is. But that, this is a, as you see, the amazing hierarchy, as you see how it works. So, Dvarim B'Telem Shel Heter is one thing, is Kafakela. The Yishom is flung from one extreme to the other, as we explained before, the issues from the Zohar HaKodesh. So, Dvarim B'Telem Shel Heter, you have Kafakela. Diburim Asurim, you have double Einish, Gehenim and Kafakela. Bittul Torah, you have three things, Kafakela, Gehenim Shel Shelek, and we have the Einshim Chamurim Noisafim. So, these are really the three things. I want to mention, talking about the Gehenim Shel Shelek. You know, the Gemara says in Ksubis Daf Lamed, the Gemara says, Hakol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim Upachim. Everything is B'dei Shemayim except cold and heat. Which means to say, people suffer from cold, people suffer from heat, that's not B'dei Shemayim. In other words, up to a person to make sure it doesn't catch cold, put on an extra baguette, insulate yourself a little better, you won't catch cold. This is the Gemara says, Hakol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim Upachim. Tinim Pachem is not B'dei Shemayim, but everything else is B'dei Shemayim. So Tosis' questions over there, there's another memret, which is a little bit more meforsim. Hakol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Me'ir Shemayim. It's a mashma, everything is B'dei Shemayim, except Yir Shemayim is not B'dei Shemayim. It's up to you. That's not something that's up to you. It's B'dei Odom. So this Gemara says, Hakol B'dei Shemayim, everything, the only exception is Tinim Upachem, cold and heat. Right? And the other Gemara says, Hakol B'dei Shemayim, Chutz, Yir Shemayim. So the Bin Elitim, some of many centuries ago, wrote in the Sefer Drosh, the Bin Elitim says, the truth is that Hakol B'dei Shemayim, Chutz, Metzinim Upachem also deals with Yir Shemayim. Because, you know, it's in the hot and cold. You see, the right thing is that for mitzvah, you should have passion, you should have chamimus. To an avera, your attitude should be clear, it's kaltkeit. He says, Leider, he says, most people are in reverse. When it comes to a mitzvah, he has clear, he has kaltkeit. When it comes to an avera, he has chamimus. Who determines it? You. Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mitzinim apachim. Cold and hot regarding a mitzvah. Because when it comes to siyas ha-mitzvahs, what your attitude should be. And how you're going to be mekayim mitzvahs, with chamimus or with kriris. Or you might be machlev the yitzris, right? You might overturn, use chamimus in the wrong place and use kariris in the opposite place. That's up to you. Because all this is part of your shemayim. All this is part of avodas Hashem. So really the two memories really are complementing one another. Because the memory of Hakol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim Upachem, cold and heat, is referring to the attitude. Whether it's a kalt kite or you have a varm kite. So this is the inyan that he points out the Bin Elitim. Agav, just agav. This is in the Akdoma to the Sefer Rugis HaBois, and he says, just a totally different pshat on Hakol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'ir Shemayim. He says, what do you mean? There's so many tefillahs that we are mispalel for Yir Shemayim. Chayim, right, Sheish Bem Havas Torah of Yir Shemayim. We say in the Brechus HaChodesh. We say the same Bilbein Abinu Lohovan Hatra Shuel Leon Lamed Lishman Lasa Yisrael Kayim Boishlan, help me be Ael Chayid. I mean, there's so many tefillahs we're asking regarding Ruchnias all the time. We're asking the Boishlan to help us out in Ruchnias. So what does it mean? Hakol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'ir Shemayim? It means there's no Siyata D'Shemayim when it comes to Nyonim of Yir Shemayim. They say the Pshat is the opposite. Hakol B'yedei Shemayim. What does the word B'yodei mean? B'yodei means it's up to you. If you own something and I ask you, do me a favor, I'd like to borrow it. It's B'yodei of the Bailam to give it or not to give it. No, it's up to him. B'yodei means it's up to him. The truth is, when I ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu for something, he doesn't have to give it to me. It's B'yodei. If he wants to, he gives it. If he does not want to, he does not give it. Hakol b'yedei shemayim. Anything that I ask from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's b'yedei shemayim. It's up to shemayim. Shemayim does not have a chiv to give it. If shemayim wants, shemayim will give it. If shemayim decides not, chutz mir shemayim, it's not b'yedei shemayim. Meaning, if a yid asks for your shemayim, you're going to get it. In other words, your shemayim can't turn you down. Just the opposite. It's not b'yodei. It's not b'yedei shemayim. As a yid bet your shemayim get menin. Any other bakosha, it's b'dei shemayim. It's up to shemayim to decide whether you deserve it or not to give it. When it comes to your shemayim, it's not b'yedei shemayim. But rather, it's up to you. You ask for it, you really want it, the emes, the Shemaim has to give it to you. It's not biyodo, it's not biyadei Shemaim. That comes as just the hepech, the kavona, just the opposite. But that's the gaburchet. Just want to mention that the Keser Shem Tov is a sefer, of course, which first printing was in 1794. It brought down many of the Torahs of Baal Shem Tov. So he points out there that Baal Shem Tov, like he said, the truth is, when you want to know what type of an attitude a person should use in Avodas Hashem, he says you learn from the Yetzer Hara himself. The Yetzer Hara is never lazy. The Yetzer Hara never has a coldness. The Yetzer Hara always has a varmkeit. He does his Avodah with a brem. The Yetzer Hara, you don't find a shvach. The Yetzer Hara always goes with full strength, with full power. He never seems to slow down. So he said like this, Ki seitzei la milchoma, he said, aloi vecho, v'shavisa shivyoi. So the Baal Shem Tov said, when a person goes into war, he says, with the Yetzer Hara, who's your real enemy? Who's your arch enemy? Who's your eternal enemy? Your eternal enemy, because every other enemy is just a physical enemy. It's just a fizmam. But who is the eternal enemy? The eternal enemy is the Yetzer Hara, because he causes you destruction, which is l'neitach nitzachem. He causes you trouble, which is forever, everlasting. So kiseitel mocham alevecha. What you do is you adapt his strategy, his derech of strategy. You also use it. V'shavisa shivyoi. Use his type of an ammunition, the way he captures you. V'shavisa, you should capture shivyoi, the way he captures, the way he tries to capture. In other words, you see the Yetzer Hara, Kim Talam with Abren, he always comes with a varmkeit. He doesn't, never slows down. So this is the same way, kiseitel mocham alevecha. This is the way, you see how the Yetzer Hara does his shlichus, you learn from the Yetzer Hara what your avoid is, and your tafkid in life, in fact, should be. And therefore, the Baal Shem Tov also said, he says, Tzofiyo halichos beisa neshes chayil. Tzofiyo means to look, like Harat Tzofim, if you know Netz Yisrael, that's a mountain we're able to see the Mokam HaMikdash. He says, Tzofiyo, the Nishama learns how to deal in this world, because the Nishama reminds itself where it came from. Where did the Nishama come from? Nishama came from, right? Where did it come from? Way back home, right? The Nishama way back from the Olam Mesel Yoinim. Nishama saw the avoid of the Malachim. The Malachim, Rabbi Isai, go with a tremendous rizis. There's no slowing by Malachim. There's no laziness by Malachim. The Potsik, as a matter of fact, says there, V'oif ye'oifeif mechoil berega echod gabriel b'shtayim. Malachim, they fly 1 second from all over the place. It's a tremendous rizis. So if you're, the Nishama said to Baal Shem Tov, she sees, she looks, where does she look? Halicha is Beisa, the Mahalik of way back home where she comes from. And that's the attitude that the Neshama adopts way back home. The Neshama Nebuch is not home. Down here is not home. Home is where she came from. So on this world, being away from home, the Neshama reflects back, way back home from where she came from. In the Olam HaMalochim, where she came from, there's no Atzlus, there's only Zrizis. So therefore, V'lechem Atzlus Lo Yisoichel. No Atzlus. That's the attitude. That's how the Neshama learns. And this is the way we're supposed to do Taka Mitzvahs. So I just want to just mention, and that is what the Minchas Lozer Taka says, that the truth is, you know, the difference between being a young man and being an older person is, when a person is young, he has a chamimis to a Yetzer Hara, unfortunately. At the same time, he could also, if he has chamimis, he can also use it positive. He can use a chamimis, he can use it for mitzvahs. So there's a mile and a chasarn. When you're young, you have strength, you have koyach, you have a bren, but that same bren can be used for avera, that same bren can be used for mitzvah. When you're in advanced age, he says, so now the Yetzer Hara slowed down. You have careerists already. But that careerist means you have no koyach to do mitzvahs either. The Yetzer Hara, right, is already weaker. The Yetzer Hara is shvacher. But the person also has a careerist in general. What would be the mila if I can take the mila of my youth for mitzvahs, and I could take the weakness of my old age for averus, that would be gevaldik. So the Mechas Luzer says in the Sefer Chaim Vishon, the Nunkah Chirov, he says, the Heshiv leiv ovois al bonim leiv bonim al avoisam. We'll give each one the mile of each other. We'll take the mile of old age and give it to the bonim, like abaveris. And we'll take the mile of the youth and put it to the ovois to do mitzvahs. Thus we'll take the mile of each tkuf in life and take the best out of both tkufis. The ovois have a mile and the bonim have a mile. And so that was the inyan by Chayesor. It's kulon shovin latoiva, baskuf kebaschof, which means that in every tkufa she took out the best of that particular tkufa. In the young age, Drizis was used for mitzvahs, not for averus. And at old age, where there is shvachkeit, weakness, but weakness was not for mitzvahs, weakness was for averus. So that's what it says, nar hoyisi gam zakanti. I can have naris and zikta at the same time. Because you have to use both middas. You have to use kaltkeit, you have to use varenkeit. But the kalkite should be for the avera, and the warp, the chamima, should be used for the mitzvah. All right, Rabbi, so let's go weiter. So we go further now, the Tanya further now. So the Tanya continues on to the Tanya Azoy. So the Tanya, first of all, told us that we have here, he says, for when it comes to the Dvurim Asurim, he says it's not enough, and he said for Bittul Torah, it is not enough, and he said that the Kapakela, therefore, will not serve to be a purification process, as he says, and he goes on and he says, now he goes further. Bechein is similar, so because he pointed out again, if a person is Oisik, is able to be Oisik B'Torah, and he wasn't, so there's going to be three situations. You have the Kapakela because of the Dvarim B'Talim Sheboi, right? And mitzad the dibur iser sheboy is gehenim shel shelig, and being that it's not stama mitzvah sesa, on top of being a regular mitzvah sesa, it's a Torah that gives mitzvah sesa. There's onchim chamurim above that also. These are the three things. Now we go further. The chenu oisik, he says, bechochmas umas ha'olam bechlal dvarim betelim yochoshir. The person occupies himself, he says, with basically, he says, intellectual disciplines. Now the tanya means not l'shem parnosa. The person, let's say, decides he wants to sit in a library and he wants to memorize an encyclopedia for no other reason than just because he wants to know it. The truth is, you should be learning at that time. If you need the knowledge because for a better parnosa, if you need the knowledge because you want to benefit mankind, you want to be able to make a contribution in society, which is an act of chesed, fine. But to learn chochmas chitzonius just for the sake of chochmas chitzonius, there could sometimes be a mile, by the way, to learn chochmas umasoylam because it helps you understand Torah better. As we'll soon see. Let's say you have Vinyonim of Kiddush HaChodesh. For Kiddush HaChodesh, it helps a lot if a person has a Yediyah in mathematics, has some Yediyah certainly in astronomy, in these kind of Vinyonim. So that's the purpose. But if a person Stam learns Chochmas Umosoylam for no reason, for no personal, no benefit, for any kind, just because they will wissen, he wants to be. So he says, why? Learn Torah better. So the Tanya goes on to say like this. The Chen Oisik B'Chochmas Umosoylam. Someone who's Oisik and he occupies himself. In Chokmas Umasoylam, he says, Bechlal Dvarim Betelim Yechoshev, Le'inyan Ovn Bittul Torah. Right? Insofar as the Avera of neglecting Torah, because being that he is involved with studying the intellectual disciplines of the nations, this is also, right, involved in Inyan of Bittul Torah, says the Tanya. And he goes on further and he says as follows. He says, Vo'id Zois Yesera Tumoso, Shal Chokmas Umois Al Tumat Dvarim Betelim. And more than that, he says, the impurity, he says, the Tanya says, that the impurity that a person will have to purify himself, which is chal, when a person's oisik stam in chochmas umasoylam, is greater than the impurity that pointed out before from dvarim betelim. How so? As he points as follows. In the case of dvarim betelim, as we said, that he has to undergo. We said kafakela, he has to undergo the purification processes, as he pointed out before. In the case of kafakela, in the case of stam dvarim betelim, he says, she'enoi malbishu metame. He says, in the case of dvarim betelim, he says, rak hamidois, the only thing that becomes basically tame, the only thing that becomes defiled, he says, in the case of dvarim betelim, is Hamidois miyesoid haruach hakodosh shebenafshoy huelikus. What the Tanya is saying is as follows. We know that, first of all, that there are Zayin Midas. Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferes, we're now into the Yemei HaSfira, right? These are various types of emotions. Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferes, Netzachot, Yesoid, Malchus. Now, we also know that just like the physical body, basically, it consists of four elements, four Yesoidis. That's Esh, Ofer, Ruach, Hamayim. That is the constitution of the physical body. The neshama also. The neshama also is also made up of eish, ofer, ruach, and mayim. In spiritual sense. There's a spiritual ofer, spiritual eish, mayim, and ruach. Eish, ofer, ruach, and mayim. The neshama also has these four elements. Each of these elements, by the way, have zayin midas. Each of these are... Now, dibur, it comes from the yisoid of ruach. Dibur is ruach. Ruach mamalalo. V'yodom lanefesh chayo. Dibur is ruach piv, right? We say, ruach piv kol tzavom. Dibur is ruach. It's from the yisoid of ruach. So when a person taka speaks dvarim betelim, what becomes affected is the yisoid, the element of ruach of his neshama. The element of ruach. The neshama is made up of four: eish, ofer, ruach, and mayim. So what becomes affected is the element of ruach, and basically he defiles the zayin midas, design different types of characters, design emotions. Design emotions of the Yisoid of Ruach becomes affected by the Dvarim Betalim. But not the Moyach, not the Chabad. The Moyach, remember, what's above the Zayin Midas? Remember, there's 10. Chesed starts, right? Chochem Abino Das. That's the Tanya say, not Keser Chochem Abino. The Tanya is Chabad, right? It's, as we say, is Chochem Abino Das. Then comes the Zayin Midas. Chesed Gvur Teferis. Chochem Abino Das, that's the Moyach. When you speak Dvarim Betalim, you're not affecting Seichel. You know why? Dvarim Betalim doesn't need Seichel. Amratzim can also speak Dvarim Betalim, he says. Something you can't grace in Seichel. What becomes affected is the emotional chelik, which is the Zayin Midas. That's called Midas. Which is Zayin Midas in the element of Ruach. That's what becomes affected. That's what the Tanya says. That's by Dvarim Betalim. But when you're Oisik in Chochmas Umasoilam, now you're nitzing Seichel. What are you defiling? You're not just defiling Zayin Midas. Now you're Mashkia, right? Now you're immersing your Seichel, your Chochma, your Bina, your Das. So now it becomes affected by a person being connected to Chochma Sumas Oilam, his Chochma, his Bina, his Seichel becomes affected, which therefore requires a higher level of purification, because the Seichel now has to be redeemed, as the Tanya goes on to say. What happened is till now, She'ena Malbishu Metame Rak Hamidois, Dvarim Betalim only clothes, and it's Metame only the Midois, the Zayin Midois, Miyesoid HaRuach HaKodesh, from the element of Ruach, which is in the divine soul. Betumat becomes defiled, betumat klipas noiga, with the imperative klipas noiga, right through his dibur. Shebedvarim betalim, haboi miyisoid haruach hara, which comes from the evil element of ruach, that's why he speaks dvarim betalim, and that defiles his divine soul. The ruach of the divine soul becomes affected. Shebeklipazu, right? Benefesh abaham is deliel. In other words, the dvarim betalim, which he expressed through the Ruach Ra, through the evil chelik of Ruach, now from the animal soul, now affects in its metama the Ruach of his Nefesh Elokeis, right, of his Nefesh Elokeis. But the loy bechin is Chabad Sheben Afshoy. But not, it did not affect the Seichel. The Seichel, chelik of his Neshama, the Chabad, Chochm bin Adat, because for Dvarim Betalim, you don't need much Seichel, he says. Ma'akar Shem Divrishtus Ubairis, Nachnashkait Mesaret. What's for a Seichel? There's no Seichel there. It's Divrishtus, it's foolishness, it's ignorance. That's all it is. So not much seichel needed for that. So therefore, what becomes defiled regarding when you're dealing with, right, when you're dealing with Dvarim Betalim, is only the Zayin Midas from the element of Ruach. But if you're dealing with Chochmas Humas, Humalbish Umetame Bechinis Chabad, thereby he clothes and he defiles the faculties of Chabad of his Neshama, the Chelek HaSeichel of his Neshama, Shebe Nafshoi Hulikis. He defiles it with the impurity of klipas noige. Because remember, klipas noige can go both ways. But what is klipas noige? It's ruboy ra and miut is toiv. When you do something wrong, when a person is using the bad element of the klipas noige, the bad element, as he points out, the bad element, and that basically he says defiles the chabad, his chokma and his seichel. Shenoflu Shoma, I'll explain these sciences of Chochmas Umasoilam, something interesting that Tanya says here. He said, because these sciences fell there, he says, Bishviras Hakelim, when you had the phenomenon, what's called Shviras Hakelim, we discussed this, I believe, in the fifth shir. Mebechines Achoirayim Shel Chochma de Kedusha, Kiyedua Leyoide Chain. What is the Tanya trying to say over here? What the Tanya is trying to say over here is as follows, Rabbi Yisrael. Tanya Zuktet Sazoi. Again, just very bekitzer, as we say, just a touch of Shviras HaKelim, just again. Shviras HaKelim, it's mentioned in the Medrash. It's mentioned in Zohar HaKodesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu, before he created this world as we know it, Kodesh Baruch Hu was Boire Oilomois Umachrivon. Kodesh Baruch Hu created world and he destroyed them. Now, how did this destruction happen? He created worlds and they were destroyed. How did these worlds destroy? So the Zohar HaKadosh tells us because these oilemes, these worlds, were not able to be mekabel the tremendous oir, the tremendous light, the oir ein sof, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the infinite light. And therefore, since this world was not able to be mekabel the rave oir, it shattered. It broke. It's like a kli that you happen to stuff into it much more than it can contain. So ultimately, what can happen is the kli will plot, which will just break apart. So being that So being that the worlds, right, were not able to contain all of the oil, the tremendous influx, the tremendous infusion of all the tremendous oil, that caused that these worlds should basically become charef, and they were shattered. So what happened to that oil that spilled out now? So what happened to all that oil that spilled out? It fell into the hands of the Sitra Achra. Amazing phenomenon. That oil that spilled out, because the world shattered, it fell into the hands of the Sitra Achra, and from there comes the Chochmis Chitzonius. From there comes the Chochmis Chitzonius, which means that when a person basically is mashkia, his moich in Chochmis Chitzonius, so really he's poigim not only in his seichel, in his chabad, in his chochma or bina das, but really he's poigim in the chochma of kedusha. Why? Because the shayrish of the chochma of Chitzonius also comes from kedusha. That spilled out by shviras hakelim and fell into the hands of the Sitra Achra. So you think about the chochmas, all the sciences, all the chochmas of Mesoilam, the shayrish really originally originated from kedusha. That's what the Tanya said. Look back at the Tanya's words now. Now I think it'll make a little more sense. Shenoflu shama. It means these sciences fell there, the shviras hakelim, through the shattering of the kelim, the b'chinis achoyrayim shel chochmas the kedusha. See, they are the hinder part. They're the hinder part of kedusha, because where did it come from? It came from the Ein Sof. The Ein Sof is full is kedusha, but the Ein Sof that spilled over through shviras hakelim, and it fell into the hands of the Sitra Achra. So now it fell into the hands of the Sitra Achra. From there stems the chochmas chitzonius. So the Chochmah Chitzonius, if you will, Bishoyrish, goes back to Chochmah, the Kedusha. So that's what the Tanya points out when he says. So now, when a person is Isaac in these Chochmah Chitzonius, right, he's Isaac, he's Mashkiah, his Moyach. So what he's doing is, he's being Poigim, you know, in the Shoyrish, which should really is Kedusha. That's what comes from. That's where he should be concentrating on. But it's Poigim his mind, because he's using his Seichel, his Mashkiah, his Moyach into this. So he defiles his mind, his chokhmah bina v'dos. Elam, here comes the punchline. Elo im kein oisa oison. In other words, when is it justified? Chokhmah chitzonius? Chokhmah sumas oilam? So the Tanya says, Elo, except if he uses the chokhmah kardom lachtechba, he's doing it as a useful instrument. If he uses the chokhmah for a useful instrument, the hainu, kedeli sparnes mehem berevach lavad Hashem. To be able to learn, right? A berevach diga livelihood with which to be able to serve the Rabbanim Shalom. The Mefarshim point out that the Tanya allows you to learn Chochmas Chitzonius even if you can have another panosa. But if this is a better panosa, because Tanya said, Loshim, Lispan is berevach, which means that it's Yitochen that you can find another panosa, right? Without Chochmas Umasoilam. But if this panosa will allow you to make a better living, that's also mutter for that. Because the ultimate goal is to be able to serve Hashem better. That's what the Tanya said to Loshen. Tilispanes mem berevach lavad Hashem. That's also. Then says the Tanya, oi, sho yodea lishtamish behem lavad Hashem oi litoirosoi. Or if he knows how to apply the sciences to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by better understanding the Torah. Like he says, for example, he utilizes mathematics to understand Kiddush HaKadosh. Right? And so on and so forth. So thereby, he's using it. By the way, this second example is a higher madrega that the Tanya than the first one. Because the first one is that the tachlis of the chokhmah is for what? Is for parnosa. And parnosa will be a means for avodas Hashem. So it's only a heksher. It's only a heksher, right? A facilitator. That the chokhmah, right, will bring you parnosa, which will allow you to serve Hashem. The second madrega is where this itself is, right, a chelik of your avodas Hashem. To understand the mathematics, right, so this itself now, you understand, this becomes a chelik of your havon and Torah itself. You'll be able to understand Torah better and various other halachas, or you learn inyonim in agriculture, right? So you study a whole bunch of inyonim of agriculture, the sciences we got. You can understand maybe Mishnah Yisroim better. You can understand the halachas of Klayim better. All these examples. And as the Tanya concludes and says, Vezehu tamo shel harambam v'rambam. And that's the reason why the Rambam and Ramban v'sayosam, he says, and their peers, she'osku b'hem, that they engage in the sciences, because they were able to utilize the knowledge, right, in Avodas Hashem and in Torah. So this is very, as we see here, very fascinating treatise that we have here from the Tanya. Let me just conclude with the time is really up here. Just want to mention to you just regarding the Rambam, just a little bit, it's very, very fascinating. You know, the Rambam basically was nifter in 1204. Was born in Cordova, happened to be there. They have a statue there, the old section.
It looks mamish like a mukef chaymer. Let's see what the Gemara talks about. Mukef chaymer is mamish Yeshua Benun. So you have Cordova, which is a city in Spain, but they have the old section. You know, mamish like a chaymer. You walk in there, and you have people live there. People live there in the old section, and then there's a square. It's called Maimonides Square. It's typical. There's a whole sign there, and then there's a place. Supposedly that's where the Rambam was born. That's where he lived, and basically because of the problems with the Muslims who basically tried to force Eden either to convert. The Almohads, Salmaisa, so then they went to Christian Spain, which is up in the north. From there, at the Satochnish Getoik, they spent a number of years there, persecution further, so then he left Spain, then he went to Morocco. The Rambam lives in Fez. He was in Morocco, also Nish Getoik, so then they went to Eretz Yisrael. Without getting into all the details with the storm on the sea, and the Rambam was saved, it was a big nest, and he was Kaveya Yontif for all his descendants. Kaveya Yontif because being saved from the storm, life was in danger, clearly in danger. And they thought they were not going to make it. And they did make it. The Rambam was Kaveya for all his descendants that they should be Kaveya Yontif on that particular day, the day that they were saved. It was Gimel Sivan or something. The Dalad year, this is when they went on the boat, Gimel Sivan, they arrived. So that was Eretz Yisrael. Finally, in Eretz Yisrael, there was problems of Panos and so forth. No, Mitzrayim is not too far from Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam makes his way to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, he becomes a physician. Becomes the physician to the Sultan. Basically, even before he was the physician to the Sultan, he was able to sit and learn because he had a rich brother. Rich brother was Reb David. But Reb David, who was Isaac in gems, he traded in gems. Maitre Shehoya, who understands how, his brother goes out on one of these excursions, you know, doing business, and the boat sinks in the Indian Ocean. Rambam gets that idea, and Rambam clearly falls into a sickness because he realizes there's no support, and he's losing such a brother. Now, the achrayas of Panosa for his own family, plus to support the almon of his brother and their families, Rambam was an entire year he was in bed. He couldn't get out of bed. He was sick for a year, mamish for a year. Ultimately, his reputation began to grow, and he's a doctor, and now so he makes his way, you know, to Cairo. He becomes a physician to the Sultan. I have to realize, not far from Cairo, place which was called then, it was called Fustat. That was the place where the Rambam lived. Fustat, that's the place. So the Rambam writes, I just want to write you. First of all, he writes to, he became so famous that there was a Muslim physician and a great theologian came to visit the Rambam. Rambam writes a letter to someone, Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda, in 1192. He writes like this. V'hinene moideyacho, he says to him, I want you to know, Shigati liyadei pirsum rav moit. I became very famous, he writes. The melechus harafuah. I mean, that's the Tanya talks about here, the Rambam's koyach of rafuah. Ben gedoyla hamalchus. Gugoyen reish hashoiftim and the Emirates were based al fatal, he says. Dovarzeh hevi liyadei kach, he says. But this caused shani mevala hayoim tomid. I spend my day, the Rambam's have no time to learn. I spend my day tomid ba'al kahara. That's Cairo, the biker choylim. Kishani choyzer lefustat, when I come back. Every day he made the trip from Fustat to Cairo. Shani Choyzel of Fustat, Lechol Ayoyser, he says, Ani Maspik B'Sheiris Ayoyim, whatever's left of the day, Balailo, I have to read in the Sifra Fus. I have to be up on the medical reports and the medical. I have to keep up the standard. Likroyis Adorishli B'Sifra Refuah. This is what he writes. He writes, Avoidosa, he says, was B'Ripu Choylim, and Rambam said, well, he was so involved, so dedicated, that himself, that it caused him weakness. His health basically took a turn to the worst. And one of the great Rishoyin, Rabbi Yonison HaKoyin Melunil, Rabbi Yonison, you see Mesechtas Erevim in the back by the rift, instead of having the Mukhi Yosef or Ram, the same as you have Rabbi Yonison. Rabbi Yonison was a tremendous fan of the Rambam. And Rabbi Yonison, the Rambam writes to Rabbi Yonison, and he says, Kamoishono Omarati Becholye, it's a year already, says that I'm sick. The Achshav Shinris Rapesi, now that I'm become healed, Hareyani, I'm still like a choyle shame by sakona. Ani roiv hayoy meisav al mitosi. Most of the day I'm on bed. V'oil hagoyim al tzavori. Patients. Says all the Mar's patients. They have to treat them. Says can't say I'm sick. It's no excuse. Says v'divrei herefuas sherefuas koychi. They weakened my koych. V'hinichu li sho achas loymen hayoyim v'loymen alaylo. I don't have an hour. He says, day or night. Uma ani yochel lasois. What can I do? Achas sheyotze tivi. My fame spread. He says, and he says, I'm no longer young, he says, and so on and so forth. This is Ram. Now, I want to tell you one nekuda. Shmuel Eben Tiboin, basically, who translated, you know, the the Gemara in the Nevuchim from Arabic translated to Lashon Kodesh. He never saw the Rambam, but he took the task to translate it. And his life's wish was that he wants to see it. Now you realize what this man did for the Rambam. He took the Gemara in the Nevuchim, Rambam wrote in Arabic, and he translated it into Lashon Kodesh. And he had one wish. He says, I want to see you. Look at Rambam writes to him. Rambam writes to him. He says, listen. Ani shoychen b'mitzrayim. I'm in Mitzrayim. Hamelech shoychen b'al kira. And the Melech, he says, the king, the sultan, he is in Cairo. How far do you think where I am thing? It's two shnei tchumei Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos is what? Alpayim amma, 2,000 amas? This is twice the imam. So it's 4,000 amas. 4,000 amas, it's about, under a mile. Just about a mile. In those days, a mile like in an Indian. But Rambam's Seder was that he used to sit in the morning, get on a chamor, and go from Fustat to Cairo, because he was the Sultan's physician. He had to be there every day. He said, Rambam writes like this. He said, V'li ala melech mini kovid moy. I already have this minig, he says. He says, bilti l'roysa. It's not shaykh, I shouldn't see him. B'chol yoyim b'tchilas ayoyim. The beginning of the day, he says, I have to see the Rambam, the melech. And that's time, when everything goes good. Now, if somebody gets, that's even when nobody's sick. Omnom, he says, kishim tzeheyu chulshev, the melech feels weak. Or yechle echad mebonov. Or one of his kids gets sick. Or yachad mepalakshev, one of his concubines, he says. He says, loy osur, I cannot leave ma'al kirov ani roi v'ayoyim bebeis ha-melech. So most of the day I have to spend by the sultan. He says, yukshol yeshu michshol, but if there's nothing going wrong, he says, oshuv l'mitzrayim acha chatzois ha-yoyim. By the time I get back, is half a day is gone. That's on a good day, he says, at least. On a good day, he says, but if I get back, is already after half a day. Now, what happens when I get back? The Rambam says, al koponim, he says, lo yagi akoidim. Whatever it is, earlier, never. Only later. Never before chatzoi sayur. Now, v'ani misraiv, I'm hungry. He says, v'ani misraiv, the emtso ha'achzad royis kulam aleis b'nei odam. All the benches are filled with people, patients. I come back after half a day. I have no time to rest, he says. There's all the benches of patients. Goyim v'yehudim. Behem choshu v'bilte choshu. Important people, non-important people. V'shoiftim v'shoitrim, judges, he says, and police. Boy, havim v'sonim, even enemies, he says. Need a doctor. Gotta treat him, he says. Erev Rav. Yodu, they all know as Eish Shuvi. They know when I come home. What do? Erev Malabahema. I get off my animal. The Erchat Yodi. All I do is wash my hands. The Eitze Aleim Lefaisom. Uleratzois Ulechalt Peneim. I ask them, do me a favor. I just came home. Allow me just to take a bite. I have to be Mephias them. I have to be Meratzes them. Limcho Akevoidom Lahamtin Oisi Ad Kidei Sheuch Sheuchel Achil Azarai. I'm going to eat just achila, not a suda. Achila sarai. So the eitzel or apoysam, and I'll come out to heal them. The lichtav lehem piskoyes, and I'll write all types of prescriptions. Refuas chalem. He says, lo yosur hanechnis vayoyts ad alayla. He says, the office is active straight till night time, he says, the Rambam says. Well, upon him, he says, believe it or not, the munas ha-toyra, says, like I swear, I soif shtei shoyes min alayla. Mamish, he says, to Asapalem, and I talk to them, Vadabarim, and I speak with them. No, sometimes you have to ask, sometimes just to talk to them. You know what the Rambam says? Vani Shoichev Pragdon, I have to go and lie down on my back. Meroiv Huayefois, from my tiredness. Sevikona Halailo, Vani Betachlis Hachulshe, Vuchala Dabar, I can't even speak. I have no koich to talk even. Soiv Dobar, says the Rambam, and he's writing this to Reb Shmuel Eben Toboin, who wants to come and visit him. I don't have 5 minutes for you. That's the same thing. I don't have 5 minutes. And look what he says. Soiv dover lo yuchal echod mi Yisroel edabeli. Not even a yid can speak to me. Or his chaber is abided in me. Or to have seclusion. To have yechidus with me. Zulat yom haShabbos. The only free day that I have is Shabbos. Oz yevoyu kol akol oirubam achra atfila. That's when I lead the tzibur. Bameshi yaseh, whatever they should do the entire week. I give them instructions. The Yikru Kriya Chalusha. Imagine, Ashvachi Kriya, they learn a little bit. Ara Tzarayim, the Yechul Adarkom. The Yeshivu Ketzosom, then some come back. The Yikru Shainis, after Mincha, Ade Smarav, Zeu Toichin in Yon Hayoim. And that's it. I have no koyach, I have no time to speak to you. This is a very amazing thing. You see, you think about the Rambam. There's a Menshe Gideon Poshet, didn't have time to learn even, he says later. But the point that Tanya said, what brought him all into that, Tanya said, that somehow, you have to realize that this was something which the whole purpose and the whole knowledge was as a service in Avodas Hashem. This is what you find by the great people. But it's an amazing thing when you read their life stories.